You know what? I don't really. I struggle to. I don't think I've never dreamt I can fly, but I cannot for you recall the recurring dream or the occasions. I dream about the stuff that seems very mundane in the dream, and you look at it afterwards and go, "Oh my goodness, that was weird." No, I can't claim to have recurring flight dreams. I guess I live it. So. Okay, stand by for the move. Go! Hey, that's a bit fast. We're gonna go up a bit faster. Yep. Okay. Hold it right there. Yep. That's it. Okay. Down we go. Down we go. I think it was an actor that I wanted to be when I was little. But I remember various phases. I went through a phase of wanting to join the Navy and having a very serious plan, thinking, right, well, I don't want to be too insecure. Everyone's told me I must be very, sensible. And yet I do still want adventure. So I must join the Navy. As at that time, a very non-sporty, small, asthmatic, intellectual, nerdy type, the Navy didn't seem, in the end, the best plan. And then I really struggled to choose between being an actor or, well, I say I struggled, between being an actor and being a barrister. I wanted to choose law. But it was when I realised that I was choosing the law degrees with the best drama departments that I thought, okay, I'm going to be an actor. I went to drama school in order to be a very serious young man, Shakespearean actor. And while I was there, got introduced to what I hadn't bumped into before, or I didn't have a name for before, which is this idea of physical theatre and sort of storytelling, as we sort of called it largely then. And the idea of using your body to tell additional layers of story to the text. At the same time, I also saw some very dull plays and thought, you know what, this is lovely, it's very well spoken, but I could be at home reading the book. I'm not getting anything else from watching it. And I kind of felt obliged as an actor to want to do work where I used my body to try and convey meaning. And that led me to get more and more physical, if you like, and look into more extreme physicalities. I have this always this story that my mum always says to me, oh, it's a shame you chose to be an actor. You'd have made a lovely lawyer. And then years later, she was like, oh, it's a shame you chose to be a trapeze artist. You'd have been a lovely actor. And I often wonder what the job would be that would cause her to say, oh, you'd have been a lovely trapeze artist. The first time you fly to catch, there is no part of your brain where there is room for anything else. This is the technique. One of my favourite sounds is the click of a carabiner when it clicks shut, because you know I'm in, I'm safe, that's it, my harness is in, I'm done, I'm not going anywhere. People bungee jump all the time, don't they? And people throw themselves out of planes. There's you know, nothing like that feeling of rushing through the air. Or if you're on a static piece on a rope, of kind of winding yourself up and dropping down. And at the same time, you know, for me in a performance context, while I'm not just a bungee jumper or a parachutist, you know, the eyes of the audience are on you. And you know that in some sense, in this particular art form, in this particular skill, they are watching you in case you fall. Now, nobody wishes you illness, sickness, and death and disaster, but that is undoubtedly part of the draw of watching and, to a certain extent, the draw of performing, even though I'm kind of faking it. I have no desire to put myself in genuine danger. And yet the reality is dangerous. At the moment of the catch, there is only one place your brain is, and it's right here, right now. And that, you know, hearing that, feeling that bang, if you're lucky enough to have the lights behind and get a bit of chalk dust, you know, that your brain just soaks all these things up. And there you do really have a different sense of what is real. You can be a superhero. There are many hooks. I mean, there are some kind of fairly obvious ones, which you might not realise at the time, but people tell you and you go, oh yeah, you know, your body releases lots of endorphins, your body releases lots of serotonin and lots of exciting chemicals that make you high and happy and challenged and bereft when you come down. When I was younger and used to think that these things were more profound than perhaps they are, I used to sort of liken it to a drug-taking experience. There's a lot of anticipation,
this is the technique.
A lot of getting ready.
Do this, do that, do that.
Then something brilliant happens that you can't quite remember in a very short period of time. And then afterwards, you just have the memory that it was all good. And then after that, everything just seems very pale. I've had a long conversation with a friend about this, who has theories about people's about those people that choose to do circus and their mental health and their possible mania and depressions and as I spoke to him, I sort of engaged with things that I hadn't perhaps thought about before. I thought, actually, yeah, that particular act I do is all about pain and suffering, and that other act that is similar is all about jubilation and release. Maybe I am manic depressive. Bing! I'm not sure that I am, to be honest, but in my head I kind of can fly. I know I can't fly, but there's something about being able to say that this is what I do that plugs into one's sense of self, to my sense of self, and allows me to be hyper normal, I think. Keep wanting to go back for more. And while I'm doing it, I am kind of, a part of me is in love with the act of doing it and with the idea of doing it and with how near it is to actually flying and how a kind of primal or fantasy strand of the work is touching people. There's all these things are going on at once, and it makes a very kind of heady sort of mix. As you do it more, time begins to slow down. You can actually remember letting go of the bar, turning, seeing the catcher, grabbing the hand. That time begins to expand. You know, as you do it more and more, you even have time to go woohoo, or you know, give a little wink to the catcher, or do something flair based in that gap. And also the part of your brain that isn't just going, this is the technique, do this, do that, do that, it begins to recede, and you're able to use other parts of your brain to layer a dramatic context on over it, or you can speak at the same time if that's your wish, or you know, you can begin to expand other activities at the same time as being in the air, which for me is a very exciting thing. Being in the air in itself is great, but I like to be in the air whilst thinking about stuff or talking about stuff, or you know. I suppose it's the flip side of being real. It's about flying in the face of reality and saying, ha! see what I can do, see what we can do, see what can be done, not just physically here, but as metaphor, as life statement, as joy de vivre, you know, as life. I kind of remember people talking about footballers and about people saying, oh, they should retire when you're at the top, you know, if you're playing for Man United, just stop and that's it. And then some other player, I forget who it was now, said, no, you've got to play as long as you can. if you go down the divisions, if you end up playing on Sundays, you know, because you're going to miss it when it's gone. And so for me, even though I understand that it can't go on forever, well, actually, I don't really understand that. I'm lying. I, in the back of my brain, I think it's going to go on forever. So I don't really intend to stop flying.